This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised.
What is going on, Barflies? Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Two Scoops, the Goon. And joining me, as always, is my good friend and buddy, John Santucci, the Tooch. Tooch, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. Ready to talk some fantasy football and say hello to all the Barflies out there.
Absolutely. And we also have our special guest, a great friend of the barroom and fantasy royalty. You got Spaceball in the house. Spaceball, how are you tonight, my
and
friend?
I've upset some people in the barroom this week, and you know what? I love it. Hi, guys.
Well, what's going on? Yeah, you did upset a few people, but it's nothing a little bit of fantasy football and season can't stop.
Okay, to all the barflies that are listening, I want, and you can see the if anybody instant messages, this is how I play the game. I can't control what happens Sunday. I can't control who falls to me in the draft to take after the first couple of rounds. You usually know what I can't control any of that. So to me, my fun is to make it a 7-day-a-week blast that you have to go to the site, you have to go to your league, and you make trade offers. How do I know if Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be better or worse than, from the Bears? Who's your number one wide receiver?
Allen Robinson.
I mean, right. How do I know that? I don't. So I try to make trades. All I ask is either respond no, send me a letter, say you try to trade me one more time, and I'll quit the or make a counteroffer. That's all I ask. So to all the barflies out there and the people in our league, other than Tooch and Joe and myself, there's still 11 more out there from our league. I offered Odell Beckham Jr. today for Derrick Henry. Now, that was it. Odell's predicted to get more points than Derrick Henry. But then if you look at some things, if he stays healthy, here's the word, if he stays healthy, Derrick Henry could lead the league in rushing this year. It wasn't about that. It was just about I wanted some action. And so you have to wait 2 days for the league to approve in our league.
Right.
Before 2 days go out, I get your league vetoed the trade. Okay.
I didn't even see who the trade was from originally. I just saw the trade, and I'm like, ah.
It was Goldman Sachs, and Spaceball's the team.
Which I believe is Nate Giovanni in our league. So,
okay, I obviously, you know, he said yes pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I love Odell. Obviously, I took him with one of my first two picks. He was the second. If Derrick Henry would have been sitting there in the draft the way I talked last week on this here show, for all the butterflies out there and all the new members we keep on getting every week,
yeah,
I said there were no more running backs left. If Derrick Henry was there, I would have gone Derrick Henry and Michael Thomas. Then I get a top five receiver, and I have a top 10 running back. In my mind, a top 10 running back. I would put Henry ahead of Fournette, and everybody's hyped about Chris Carson for Seattle. You know, where has anybody learned? He doesn't know how to run his running backs properly over in Seattle. I mean,
very true.
If he would have run his running back 1 year, he would have had a Super Bowl trophy, Pete Carroll. So, I mean, whatever the case may be, I think trades are fun. Simple, period, end of story. We don't own this team. You know, get below I would like to know, without looking at a sheet, without looking at a sheet, guys, Joe, you, Tooch, you, anybody else, right now, if I asked you, without looking, give me your whole team, would you be able to tell me your whole team?
No, I have too many teams. I wouldn't be able to tell you my team in our league.
Yeah, I don't think I could either, but maybe.
You know, and I'm not saying that to put anybody down. It's not easy. The second half of our roster, when you have so many members in a league, you don't know them. You're taking a chance. You got backup here, backup here. And by the way, the backups could be the best thing to win this league, because there's a lot of good backups up out
yes,
there.
Yes, there are, Jim. You're totally right.
Look at who got the home run of this weekend. Was it Phil El Diablo? What team was it?
Oh, no, that was Phil.
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, draft Dr. Phil.
Yeah. I mean, he had. If I would have had McCoy, he would have been off my team already, and I would have never had the chance to have him again on Kansas City. I think he is the biggest sleeper of the entire league.
Could be right now.
LeSean McCoy. Yeah, I mean, here, I'll start the show. I'm done bitching about trading, but the bottom line is, you know, trading is fun. People have to trade. You can change your roster every week. I mean, it's fun. But I'm looking at, I'll do the segue here for you, Joe. I'm looking at your week one rankings. Thank you, the number one quarterback, my guy, Deshaun Watson.
Oh, absolutely, man. He's got a great matchup against that New Orleans secondary. He's going to use his legs, and he's going to throw. For me, I don't think there's a better matchup next to Carson Wentz, who I have ranked at number two this week against Washington. But those two guys, absolutely killer matchups this week.
And in my matchups this week, Watson goes up against Mahomes. I mean, don't you guys find it a little bit weird? There hasn't been one word from the NFL about what's the story this Sunday. Shouldn't the game be moved right now? I know the only thing I've seen is Jacksonville didn't practice today. Or they're not practicing tomorrow, excuse me. It's the only thing I've seen.
Yeah, it's shocking.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is to me. I mean, last year by this, it was either last year or 2 years ago, there was a hurricane at the start of the season for the Buccaneers game at home. And by Monday before the season, they had already rescheduled it, or they moved it. I believe they played in Atlanta or something when they were on the road.
Right. And by the way, when you look at your number eight quarterback, from what I see on the Weather Channel, I must be 100 years old. I watch the Weather Channel. But Carolina's not in a real good spot either. For the pending hurricane.
Yeah, and that could be a lot of broken hearts for week one. If there's no Christian McCaffrey in lineups, a lot of people,
I think, why wouldn't they just, the simple thing of all, as long as there's no conflict with a concert or whatever, all they should do is have Jacksonville open up at Kansas City and switch the games. You know, if they don't play, then they don't play. They split the revenue.
That might be the best option, really.
Because the team, they are in line to get, they were showing on the Weather Channel just a bit ago, they're in line to get some pretty bad weather there.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal. And I don't know if you remember.
You know, I don't know where Carolina, you know, in the pictures they show on the Weather Channel when they're showing the reporters, you do see the stadium in the background. And it's by a bridge where they think the bridge is going to flood. You know, the whole nine yards. I'm like a 100-year-old Jewish man sitting here watching the Weather Channel.
Love it.
I mean, what the hell is wrong with me? But that's because nobody will trade with me.
Hey, not yet. You never know. It might work out. Once Odell has three huge games, I'm sure you'll have a lot of people wanting to offer you a running back, Jeff.
Well, you know what? I am very comfortable. I know my running backs aren't on your list, but in my super looking at the 14 teams and Tooch, if you have them in front of you, I mean, if you have one good running back, maybe two good receivers. Is it comfortable to say I have two great wide receivers? And, you know, what if Mark Ingram is the stud in Baltimore? I don't expect him to be, but what if?
He could be.
And obviously you don't expect him to be either, Joe. I don't see him on here.
So I got Mark Ingram ranked at number 10 this week, Spaceball. I love Mark Ingram this week.
Oh,
I
yeah, think... there he is. There he is at number 10. You know, these eyes, I don't have my glasses on.
He's my start of the week.
You know, Baltimore, easy schedule against the run this year.
Yeah, it's your number 15 pick might not even play.
Well, it depends what happens. Apparently Zeke is flying back to Dallas to potentially sign some sort of deal. So obviously, if Zeke signs, Tony Pollard falls off my top 40 and Zeke gets inserted into my top five. Top five.
Really?
I'd put him probably at five and I'd move Chubb down one spot. Or, I mean, at five and move Bell down one spot. But I still, if Zeke plays, you got to start him.
You got to, and they said what I read today, that he's in great shape. He's coming back to stay at a hotel or his house in Dallas, whatever, until it's ready to be signed. And what's his name? The coach said
Jason Garrett.
If he signs tonight, he's cleared to practice tomorrow and play Sunday. That's all he said.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
He didn't say start Sunday. He said to play Sunday. He's not going to sign a pretty nice contract, I would imagine, to not start. And he is the kind of guy that'll get you three touchdowns.
Oh, no doubt. He might get four.
He's just saying, you guys thought about not signing me? You know, and you'll see Tony Pollard sitting on the bench crying.
I think he's still going to be involved, though. I think he's still got value. I think he's going to be kind of like a Tariq Cohen kind of back on that Dallas team if Zeke plays. So for all you Tony Pollard owners, hope is not lost. If Zeke signs, I would still hold him on your bench and see what happens.
And then play him?
I wouldn't play him week 1.
Maybe in my flex, yeah.
Yeah.
But the other running back that's holding out, Melvin Gordon, Los Angeles, they're done negotiating with him, Joe.
Yeah, he's not going to play for them this year. We talked about that as a couple last week.
The coach, what's his name, the new coach for the Chargers?
Anthony Lynn, right?
We didn't. Right. He was being interviewed on they didn't talk about him. They talked about Austin as their starter. And, you know, let's go on. Next question. Didn't even want to talk about it. And everything I read is they gave his agents the opportunity to look. Now, if you look around the NFL and the money, don't forget he's turning down $5 million a year. So to go out there, he's going to want more. And I don't think he's a superlative. I don't think he's a difference maker. Like, if he went to the Eagles, Tooch, do you think they go to the Super Bowl if he's their running back?
No, and they have a bunch of good running backs, too. But nobody's going to give Los Angeles a first round and a fifth round pick and then pay
and
Melvin
Gordon
$13 million.
And nobody's going to give Melvin Gordon $10
million. No. Now, yeah. If Gordon wanted to stick it to the Chargers, he'd find a trade to someone so they give up, you know, they have to go with, you know, other running backs. But I don't think he could find someone who could give up a one and a five.
And by the way, I was just going to say the only people that would be reasonable for him, I guess you could say Tampa Bay could use a quality running back.
You could.
Not many more that you could sit. What?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff. You go ahead, Spaceball.
There's not many more other than Tampa Bay going down the NFL list to say maybe you could say Detroit, but sure, he wouldn't make a difference on Detroit.
No.
Tampa Bay with him, with those wide receivers and Winston, hey, he could make a difference there. But I don't see two other teams that he could affect. You know, maybe Oakland could look at he's a sure thing and Josh Jacobs, you're working slowly. You don't work in rookies slowly anymore in the running game. You just put them in, let them get their pounding, and boom, you get a 3-year, 4-year life out of them and you move on.
I could think Miami. They don't have a very good running back situation.
But once again, Miami's the same as Detroit. They don't have a team. He's not going to make a difference.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to, and they already.
He's not going to make a difference.
And Kenyon Drake is their back right now, who's got a lot of talent, but hasn't, you know, been able to put it all together just yet. So I think if they were to sign Gordon, it'd be very similar to keeping Kenyon Drake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It truly is. He's not a superior talent game changer. I mean, you go down, you look at every run. Let me ask you a question. Here we were talking at the top of the show, Derrick Henry. Tooch, who would you rather have, Derrick Henry or Melvin Gordon?
Derrick Henry.
No doubt. I'm on 100%
okay.
Henry.
I mean, 100%. I mean, and so you go, maybe you'd like him in Baltimore instead of Mark Ingram. You know what? When Mark Ingram carried the ball in New Orleans, yeah, they were a perfect offense for any offensive player. But when he carried the ball, he was pretty darn good. That's what got him a payday in Baltimore.
Yeah, he is.
I think Melvin Gordon's going to have to wait for a team to have a catastrophic injury at running back to find
exactly.
a home.
Exactly.
But if Green Bay were smart, they'd make a play for him and use Aaron Jones as sort of a change of pace running back third down and have Melvin Gordon be the workhorse. But I don't
know.
Think,
the shame is,
hey now.
How long have we talked about, and you guys, before I even got to know you, how long has he supposed to be the new running back in Green Bay? For a couple
Aaron
of
Jones?
Years?
Yeah, I mean, he's a super talented running back, very efficient.
Yes, he is.
Has had a lot of injuries and, of course,
suspensions,
injuries, and Aaron Rodgers always wanted to throw the ball and the team not wanting to run the ball.
Well, I mean,
that's been the biggest issue.
Mike McCarthy not knowing how to use him, really. I mean, they didn't even use him in the pass game for the first couple years.
Yeah.
They finally started using him last year, and that's what you're going to get this year. I think Aaron Jones is a top 15 running back, and obviously, he's on my sit list this week against the Bears, guys. But the rest of the season, I love him.
I mean, it's really this year. That's why I've been offering trades where people don't understand. Is there's so many questions that need to be answered this year. When you get a new coach, like in Green Bay, how many new coaches this year are there? The whole system changes. Ben Roethlisberger, for the first time in 7 years, 8 years, doesn't have the most prolific running back over the last wide receiver over the last decade in Antonio Brown. Juju Schuster, everybody goes crazy over him. I go crazy over him because I love his name. And he had a great year. But, he had a great year because on the other side, a dude was getting double teamed.
Right.
This year is going to be more. It's why I was willing to put out Beckham. I know how good Beckham is, but how good is Mayfield really? We only saw him a half a year. How good is Mayfield? He's got so many options. They got an excellent tight end. I can't pronounce his name. You got Nick.
David
Schultz.
Njoku.
You got Jarvis Landry. Yeah, you got Jarvis Landry on the other side. You got a lot of guys on there that have never played together.
Right.
Don't forget they've never played together. That's what makes a guy, like I got lucky, I feel, and I think you got him low here. You got him at number 19 for wide receiver, Joe, and that's Josh Gordon. Brady only likes people that know how to play football.
Hey, I like Josh Gordon.
He's comfortable with this guy. And I'm going to tell you, they've prepared already, and you got to give credit where credit is due to, the Patriots, no matter how much you hate them because they're so good and smart. You know, to pick up a Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
Who And what he scored two touchdowns is his one and only appearance as a
in
Patriot
the preseason. And then they cut him, and then they re-signed him.
Well, they had to cut him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I read something. He had to be cut to be re-signed, something like that, or to carry him on for the full year or whatever. Some stupid NFL clause. But you know what? There's one thing about Julian Edelman. He's always able to get hurt. You know what? There's one thing about Josh Gordon. He's going to find a doobie in a state that has legal marijuana.
There you go.
He's going to smoke after the game. He's going to pee in a cup, and they're going to suspend him again.
Hey, you never know. I mean, hopefully the guy's got his stuff together. He wouldn't have been reinstated most likely otherwise. But you brought up a good point, Spaceball, about our guy Julian Edelman. Like, I'm a huge fan. I think he's a top 15 wide receiver this year, if he can stay healthy. He's already questionable for this game on Sunday, and he's most likely going to play, but he's already banged up is the point I'm trying to make.
But what I'm going to say here is watch this. You got to realize, guys, you all work. Cooch just got a great job. Congratulations from all the Butterflies, too.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I retired. I sit here, and if Aldo don't call me to complain that we don't have any business, I just research. And I'm telling you, at 41 years old, Brady ain't going to take a seven step back. Brady is going to be looking at Josh Gordon speeding down the sidelines and hoping that he's there when the ball gets there. That's what you're going to see on the Patriots. That's what you're going to see.
Yeah, you are. And it's going to be, I think they're going to be better than expected this year. Everyone expects the Patriots to be great, but I think they're going to be better than great.
I agree. I don't think Kansas City, I don't think Mahomes, think about this. Mahomes could score 40 touchdowns, and he's 20% worse than last year. throwing 50 touchdowns this year.
No, and he's not going to. And I think most people know that drafting him, but he's still on a team that's just so potent on offense that you just can't deny the guy.
And we don't know what's in Tariq Hill's head from what he went through, what he's still going through. I mean, I am just willing to sit back. An interesting point I want to bring up to all the Butterflies at number 25 under running backs. Joe has James White.
James White.
And I have him, and we were talking before we came on about my team that Joe goes, you really only have one running back, and that is, we were just talking about, number 10.
Mark Ingram.
Ingram. I consider White, he's not a full three-down running back, but he is their passing back and a change of pace. And, I hope every game's like the Super Bowl. What was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah, the comeback?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think White is a very quality because he's not a three-down back. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves as much as the other people.
Hey, top 25 is still good in a 12-man league. I mean, that means you're a starter.
He's so consistent. Yeah. And New England has the easiest schedule against the pass.
Before I disappear and let you guys talk science and really good fantasy football stuff, who's the worst NFL team going into the season? Who do you think is the worst? Who will get next year's first pick, which most likely will be, I can't pronounce his name, Tuch? My grandson goes there, Tau, T-A-U. How do you pronounce his last name? Kid from Alabama.
Oh, geez. Oh,
Tylolo? We did Shane.
This is pronunciation with the goon Tuch and Spaceball.
I know his first name is Tua.
I
don't know how
you got to think he'll be the number one pick next year.
Yeah.
I think the worst team, Tuch says the Dolphins. Yeah. I'm going to say the Redskins.
Hmm. I say the Dolphins also.
Yeah, they need a quarterback too.
I say the Dolphins. They can't, by the way, they can't even lose with dignity. Like give up on the year already, like they always say for NBA teams, tank. They can't even tank properly. This isn't the NBA, guys. The first round, the second round, the third round draft choices you got back. I've seen a lot of first round draft choices usually end up on my fantasy team and then do nothing the rest of the year. So, I mean, I think they're the worst. Who's the best? Super Bowl winner.
The Bears.
I think the two best teams in football are the Bears and Patriots right now.
Woo. What a Super Bowl that would be.
That would be awesome. It'd be a rematch of 85.
From a long time ago. What a great. And where's Super Bowl next year?
I don't know.
Miami.
Okay. Let me tell you right now, guys, I'm going to wish you a good kickoff to the season.
Yeah.
A healthy week. Be safe to all of our friends in Florida. But I want to say one thing. Miami, Aldo, I know you're listening. Tooch, the Goon, and I want to go to Miami. We'll stay in one room together, and we want to do a show from the Super Bowl.
All right.
That a deal, guys?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
We don't give a fuck.
All right, Aldo. You know what to do.
All those grandma, all those mom.
Guys, have a great week, and be looking for a trade. You never know.
Hey, you got it, Spaceball. Yeah. Best of luck this week.
Talk to you guys next week. Have a good
Yes, sir.
One.
Talk to you later.
All right, Spaceball.
Spaceball, everybody. Man, oh, man. He is so funny and full of fantasy knowledge. And he's the trade machine, Tooch.
I didn't have any problem with the trade. Like I said, I'm very liberal with trades. But, Joe, I got a question for you.
Oh, shoot it. Shoot it out.
Is Melvin Gordon a drop right now, or do you hold on to him hoping another team makes a trade for him?
That's a tough one, Tooch. That's a tough one. I'm giving him a drop status right now because I don't want him to hold up a roster spot because for me, there's just too many guys with too much potential out there. You know, I'm in some leagues where Melvin Gordon is owned, but Tony Pollard isn't, or Daryl Henderson in some other leagues. I mean, this is a guy, Henderson, that if Todd Gurley goes down, he's probably a top 10 running back. So, I mean...
See, I think Malcolm Brown is the backup to Todd Gurley. That's just me.
I disagree.
He's the better player right now. He's listed as number two on the depth chart. They paid him a
So is David Montgomery, Tooch.
And Mike Davis listed as a starter?
I believe Davis is listed as a starter. I'd have to go back and check.
Right. We'll see if Todd Gurley is stays healthy, who comes in. But by all accounts, Daryl Henderson having a little problem picking up the offense. Maybe more of a third down back. But I think Malcolm Brown would be the one to carry the load, you know, being the veteran as far as pass protection as well. But we'll see. It's just kind of the same thing in Buffalo where Frank Gore looks to be the veteran presence and Devin Singletary, the, you know, hot young rookie who's Frank Gore, Joe, he just keeps rolling.
Well, Zim Zimmerman just gave us an update on the Bears' depth chart at running back. Cohen is listed as a starter. I think actually there's a typo in there somewhere, but Cohen is a starter and Davis is two. I think he meant to say that Montgomery is two and Davis is three. But either way, lots of fantasy relevancy in this week one because, Tooch, a lot of performances in week one make or break the position on the depth chart. And that's kind of where I came from my rankings this week, Tooch. And,
very difficult to predict week one. It's probably the hardest. You won't know. All the chips are going to fall in place, you know, over these first few weeks, and then we'll have a better picture. But the first week is so difficult. It's difficult to predict the games. It's difficult to predict the fantasy rankings. It's difficult to predict who will have the high score games, but we're here to give some picks, right, Joe?
Yeah, we're going to give our picks, and it's tough week one, but I feel pretty confident what I put out there. And just to clarify on what we just said, Zim chimed in saying that I was right. Montgomery is ranked at number three on the depth chart. So, you know, look out for him. I think he really has a breakout week one. Like David Montgomery a lot. And while we're talking about him.
Doesn't that beg the question, though, Joe, that Chicago, like Kansas City, will be a running back by committee? Do you agree with that?
To a certain extent, I do. But I think Montgomery is going to get enough touches to the point where he can make himself a clear-cut running back, a low-end running back number one, and I think he'll be a high-end number two in fantasy. So for where he's being drafted, you know, right now, I think it's a little high. I think he's a fourth-round pick right now in fantasy drafts. I'd feel better taking him in the fifth. But, you know, by now, most people have drafted. The season starts on Thursday. I do like him a lot this week.
Yeah, you love the potential. But I think the kid's got to be a bell cow to be a number one running back. Yeah, he's more of a two, but the potential's there if they're going to use him. I just don't think, I think that Nagy likes to mix in guys, wants to make sure, Cohen gets in there and gets his touches, gets some carries. Mike Davis has got a lot of talent too. He's also a good receiver. Yeah. They want to sprinkle Davis in there. Cohen may get 10 touches. Davis may get 10. That leaves only, 10 or 15 touches for Montgomery. That's what worries me about the Bears' running back situation. It looks a lot like New England or Philadelphia to me. Whereas in Tennessee, you've got, if they're smart, Derrick Henry rushing the ball. In Seattle, they'll feed Chris Carson. Cincinnati, they'll feed, what's that guy's name? Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah. So, but
I'm with you, man. I think each offense has their bell cow, and the Bears, we're gonna find out as they go for the season. But from based off what we saw in the preseason, Montgomery's the guy. And let's move on to some other running backs, Tooch. I talked about a couple of the top five guys. Got Barkley at one, Kamara at two. James Conner, though, at number three is a guy that I really love this week against that New England defense. If you have James Conner, I really think he's got a lot to prove because a lot of people don't believe in him going into the year, and I'm just waiting for him to explode. And then I got McCaffrey at four following Conner. Got a great matchup against the Rams, which a lot of people are like, oh, they're really good on run defense, but McCaffrey is more than just a runner. He's a pass catcher. So same thing with Le'Veon Bell at number five. But Tooch, I want to touch on a guy in my rankings that a lot of people have been giving me a little bit of crap for. But I got to talk about Kerryon Johnson from Detroit. I have him ranked at number 13 this week. How he gets to go against that Arizona defense that, last year wasn't great against the run.
They could not stop anybody, Joe.
Which is why I love him.
Struggled against the run the beginning of last year, too, before they clamped down. But and that's another team. That's why Connor, up there at the top. But, yeah, Arizona could not stop the run for anything. And Miami also pretty bad against the run as well.
Yeah, so that's why, obviously, my start of the week, Mark Ingram, ranked at number 10 against Miami. And Kerryon Johnson, a guy that a lot of people are sleeping on. Obviously, I'm not a Lions fan, but great matchup this week. So you can't go wrong, Kerryon Johnson against Arizona. So make sure you're firing him up. And a guy that's not getting a lot of love, too, which is Damian Williams. And I think that's one of those positions that we talked about. We'll kind of wait and see, what happens with LeSean McCoy in town. I still have Williams ranked at 23 because he's more familiar with the playbook at this point. But Jacksonville, a tough matchup against the run. So don't look for too much production out of your Kansas City running backs. They're going to do their damage in the air if they can do any damage at all. So I'm not loving everyone from Kansas City this week. I even have Mahomes ranked at number 3, which, for Mahomes is pretty low.
Yeah, and acquiring or signing LeSean McCoy means that Kansas City also has this doubts about Damian Williams. Now, here's the deal with the Kansas City running back situation, and we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, and will he get close to 50 touchdowns? LeSean McCoy is gonna try to get him close to 50 touchdowns, Joe. A excellent receiver out of the backfield. You know it.
Oh yeah,
I think LeSean McCoy may not play as much as Damian Williams this week, but eventually I think he's going to out-touch Damian Williams. What do you think?
I think it's going to be more of a 50-50 split for most of the year. Going to have fresh legs for both guys. McCoy's been a guy that gets hurt. And if he's splitting carries for a good chunk of the year, I think McCoy can stay healthy. So I still like both guys. I just want to see how they're going to use them. So they're more of a wait and see for me. And
well, it's definitely a wait and see. Now, the guy they let loose ended up in Houston, Joe.
Yeah, why am I drawing a blank here?
Carlos Hyde.
Thank you, Carlos Hyde.
He's the player, but what does that do to Duke Johnson's value? To me, I don't think it does much. I like Johnson's the better back. Carlos Hyde, to me, may get more goal line touches, but I don't think he's going to out-touch Duke Johnson, Duke Johnson being the superior talent. I don't know how Carlos Hyde still keeps getting a job here. He's really not that good, Joe. But
I think it helps.
I'm sure he's going to be picked up by a lot of fantasy owners.
Oh, I'm sure. But I think it actually helps Johnson's value, in my opinion, because, you know, he's going to have a big back on the field that, you know, can draw guys away from him or kind of spell him. And you look at Duke Johnson, I look at him more as a receiving back. I know he's a big guy, but, you know, the dude's fast, he's quick, and he's got good hands. So having a bruiser to go along with that, I think it's a great combination, and it sets him up for success. So I like Duke Johnson. I don't absolutely love him this week against New Orleans because I feel like they're going to pass the ball a lot. And I think Deshaun Watson is going to run a lot. But
last year, you know, New Orleans was the best team in the NFL against the run. Even better than the Bears. The Bears were number two against the run last year. But New Orleans was allowing about 70 yards rushing per game last season.
Yeah, it's rough. So, it's rough going against them. And, you know, I think Duke Johnson's going to have some issues. So he's a sit unless you have no other choice. And my other big sit of the week, too, is Aaron Jones. I talked about him a little while ago, going against that Bears' tough run defense. Love Aaron Jones all season long. I just don't love him this week.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be – I don't think – the over-under for that game is 46. I don't think it's going to be – if I had to, I'd take the under, but I think it's going to be right at 46.
Yeah.
But – I don't see that game going over. The Packers Bears rivalry is usually, you know, a slugfest.
Yeah.
It may get sloppy. You may see a defensive score here and there. I just don't see it being a high scoring game. Joe, what do you think? High scoring or no?
You know, I'm somewhere in between, man. I'm having a hard time. I don't think it's going to be high. I don't think it's going to be low. I think it's going to be kind of middle of the pack. And because of that, I would take the under in that game. So I'd say it's, you know, a 21-14 kind of game, you know? So I think that's kind of where we're going to go. And Tooch, we have some breaking news.
We interrupt this program for breaking Bears barroom news.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. We got some breaking news. The Los Angeles Rams and quarterback Jared Goff have agreed to terms on a 4-year contract extension that will keep Goff with the team through the 2024 season. The extension is worth $134 million and includes an NFL record $110 million guaranteed.
Wow.
A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. So, wow, Jared Goff, the long-term quarterback in LA for the Rams. Looks like Goff is the long-term solution that they're looking for. That's huge money.
Huge money, as Hart says in the chat room. And Jared Goff, you know, he's a sure bet in that passing offense to get 4,000 yards. And Sean McVay, very creative offensive coach, offensive mind. So, you know, Jared Goff has got great weapons, three good wide receivers. Got Todd Gurley rushing the ball as long as he stays healthy, his knee holds up. I think it's a good signing for the Rams.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the kid has shown a lot of moxie for them, and he's been great during the regular season. He just has to wake up during the playoffs because he was pretty terrible last year.
Yeah, we had some other trades as well, Joe. Jadeveon Clowney was traded to the Seahawks. That improves the Seahawks defense a little bit there. So watch. I expect Seattle at home to be a good streaming defense, Joe.
They are. They moved up in my rankings for this week, too. I have Seattle ranked at number 6. They get that Cincinnati offense that is without A.J. Green and pretty banged up, aside from Joe Mixon. So I really like the Seahawks defense. They're available in a lot of leagues, surprisingly. So adding in Clowney on that defense is pretty scary. They already have a bunch of great players. So get that Seattle defense rocking in your lineup, man. They're going to be really good.
Yeah, they'll be tough at home. The 12th man is always tough there. That's a great streaming defense this week, man, if you get a chance to pick up the Seattle defense.
Yeah, in daily fantasy, for sure.
I think the barkeeper picked him up in the barroom league, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
I think he did. He's listening in the chat room, so he'll tell us in a second, most likely. But definitely fire up the Seattle defense this week. And, Tooch, I want to touch a little bit on tight ends here because, you know, it's a tough position. And you and I were talking on the Barfly Tailgate show yesterday, which is on the Bears Barroom podcast stream right now if you want to go listen. But he's our sleeper of the year, a tight end for the Oakland Raiders, and we're talking about Darren Waller.
I love him.
He has a great matchup against the Denver Broncos this week.
I can't rave enough about this kid, Joe.
Yeah, he's what, 6'7"?
6'7", 250, and he runs a 4.4 40. He's just freak athlete. I'm trying to find ways to get him on my team. I don't want to cut anybody loose. I wish I had like one extra slot on my roster, Joe.
So do I. And Darren Waller is just a guy that if he's out there, I'd say you go and pick him up. I like him better than a Greg Olsen for the season. I like him better than Eric Ebron. I like him better than Jack Doyle. I mean, these are guys that are being drafted in front of him. You know, this week I like him better than a lot of people. I have him ranked at number 8. So watch Darren Waller. He's been on Hard Knocks. All the players are raving about him. So Darren Waller is a huge sleeper going into the year. I'm telling you right now, you don't know him now, but 3 or 4 weeks from now, you're going to know him.
Yeah, I've got some other guys too, Joe. I think you'll know by the end of the season. One of them's Deebo Samuel on the 49ers. I tried to draft him. I got sniped. Jalen Hurd is hurt. You know, Dante Pettis is kind of being scolded and sat in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, there's also Marquise Goodwin, who's always perennially banged up. I think Deebo also returns punts. He's a tough cover. I think you're going to hear about this kid. Another guy you're going to hear about is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on the Eagles as a red zone target wide receiver. I think if Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson go out for any length of time, this kid's going to be tough to keep off the field. He's going to score some touchdowns, and people are going to be scrambling to pick him up. And another guy is on the Colts, this kid Paris Campbell, who was on the Ohio State Buckeyes, blazing speed. He's the heir apparent to T.Y. Hilton. This kid you could be hearing a lot about. If you watch that last Colts preseason game, you know, he's awfully fast, Joe. He's awfully a good receiver. They're going to be using him in a bunch of different ways. This is a kid you might also hear about. And the number one pickup on the waiver wire has been this kid, Dare Ogunbunwale.
Tampa Bay, right?
Right. I talked a little bit about him last week. He's one of the top waiver wire pickups. He made Andre Ellington expendable in Tampa Bay. He's the kind of back that Bruce Arians likes to use out of the backfield receiving. Tampa Bay is going to be throwing the ball a lot. Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber are not exciting. They're not doing enough. You may see this kid be the starter by season's end, Joe.
Could easily be the case, no doubt about it. So, yeah, definitely deep sleeper territory, but these are people that you really want, especially in dynasty leagues or in deep leagues like the barroom, like 14-man, 16-man leagues. Or if you're in Heidi's case, you're talking about an 18-man league. That's crazy. But definitely keep an eye on those guys. And Tooch, at wide receiver, you know, I got to talk about one more sleeper for the week, a guy that people are really kind of undervaluing. And, you know, I got to talk about Tyler Boyd a little bit because, you know, as great as the Seahawks defense is, Tyler Boyd was really good last year when at moments when A.J. Green was gone. And I think if there's one secondary he's going to get free against, I feel like it's going to be that Seattle secondary. It's the first game of the season. They're going to be playing from behind. And Tyler Boyd's just the kind of guy that's going to get targeted a lot with A.J. Green gone. And let's face it, he's got great hands, and he's going to have a lot of opportunities. So that adds up to generally a pretty good fantasy outlook. I have him ranked at 25 this week. Tooch, what do you think about Tyler Boyd?
Oh, I like him. I targeted him, didn't get him. I just was kind of waiting on him. Didn't think he'd go as high. He was drafted higher than I thought he should be. But with A.J. Green out, you know, he scores touchdowns, you know, and you know, a guy opposite him might be someone to watch out for. He's also a bigger receiver. That kid's name is Damian Wills, an undrafted free agent on the Bengals. So he's going to be starting opposite Tyler Boyd. So we'll see how those two do. Joe, I forgot to mention there was another trade. Kenny Stills going to the Texans. Yeah. Now, that might mean that Kiki Kute's injury might linger a little bit longer than we think. But for the Dolphins, it opens up some targets for Devontae Parker. And Albert Wilson is a guy I really like. I think he's – if you remember against the Bears, he had 155 yards. You know, he's very fast, very athletic. He'll be running in the slot for the Dolphins and Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, they like to throw the ball. They'll probably be playing from behind most of the season. Fitzpatrick could have a few of those 400-yard passing games.
He could.
You know, and Albert Wilson is probably going to be a waiver wire pickup in a couple weeks or so.
No doubt, Tooch. And a big part of that trade, which we didn't talk about, which is probably the most fantasy-relevant part of it, is also Laremy Tunsil got traded to the Texans as well, the offensive lineman. Houston really needs a lot of help on the line, and he's going to help solidify that for Deshaun Watson and all those other, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, all those top quality guys. So look for that offense to get a bit of a jolt from that offensive lineman addition of Laremy Tunsil. I'm looking forward to see what they can do with a much improved line. So it should be interesting, Tooch. He might actually not have to run for his life all season.
Yeah, it's great news for me because I own Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins in one league. I think it's the Big Money Goon League.
There you go.
And that was good news for me because I was a little worried about their offensive line, which is why you saw guys like Hopkins and Watson drop.
Sure.
On draft nights when you're picking your draft, you saw those guys fall. Now, I think we have more questions in the chat room, Joe. I think I see people.
Yeah, before we're going to be getting out of here pretty soon, but we do have a handful of questions. Let me back up for a second. Aaron Jones, Cortland Sutton, and Ridley for McCaffrey in a non-PPR. What do you think of that trade? The McCaffrey owner has no one on his bench.
I never trade Christian McCaffrey, Joe. That's just me.
I'm with you.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey may have 2,000 total yards this season. I wouldn't give up McCaffrey, but that's me. And then What does he need again, Joe?
He is trying to trade Aaron Jones, Cortland Sutton, and Calvin Ridley.
To get Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think
it's worth it. I mean, I think Jones is going to have a good year.
I think
Calvin Ridley has a huge year.
Yeah,
Cortland Sutton, I'm not sold on Cortland Sutton. He can't catch the ball. He's got the dropsies, so... There's other guys out there
than Cortland Sutton you could pick up. You know, to me, he's just a guy right now.
I mean, for now, I'd put Sutton on your bench. Just kind of leave him for a while and see what happens. But, you know, Sutton's a guy I'd give, you know, 2-3 weeks. And if it's exactly what I think it's going to be, and I think it's the Emmanuel Sanders show, if that's the case, then, you know, you forget about Sutton.
So, basically, it's Aaron Jones. Or what's the other wide receiver, Joe, for McCaffrey?
Calvin Ridley. It's
Calvin essentially
Ridley and Jones.
I do like Calvin Ridley a lot. Aaron Jones, I like the player a lot. I just don't know if he's going to get as many touches as he needs to, you know, to justify giving McCaffrey is in on 99% of every play. That's why I don't.
Yeah, it's true.
He's a guy, set it and forget it. That's as close as you get to set it and forget it, Joe. The only time he's not playing is on his bye.
That's right.
You know,
don't start him on his bye.
with other guys, it doesn't matter. McCaffrey, I think I had number two a number two pick, and I could have taken Ezekiel Elliott. You know, Saquon Barkley went number one, and it was Alvin Kamara. I took McCaffrey number two because I just wanted to set it and forget it.
For sure. And Tooch, we have a handful of other questions in the chat. We're gonna rifle through these, and then we're gonna wrap things up because we have Shy fans in the stands with Greg Braggs Jr. and myself coming up just after 9 o'clock, right around 9:10, 9:15-ish. But we had a question in the chat room from NDiff. Debo Samuel, Anthony Miller, or Darren Waller to pick up on waivers, non-PPR. I have Kittle as a starting tight end. I still think it's Waller, really. I think Waller's, especially if you have a flex in that league. And Diff, I don't know if you're in the chat room still, but if you can clarify, if you have a flex spot, I think Waller's worth it. Tooch, what do you think? Tooch is still on the mute. He's talking away.
It was a hard choice for me with Debo. I really like Debo. He returns punts too, man. That's why. But you know, he's on the same team as Kittle, so you're kind of, you know, fighting for. But this week, I mean, against Tampa Bay, it's a great matchup. But I think you're right about Waller. If you could run Kittle and Waller, go with two tight ends if you've got a flex spot. Yeah, I really love the potential of this Waller kid. I think he could have just as good a season as Jared Cook had last year, if not better.
Yeah, he responded back. He said he's got Josh Jacobs in the flex right now, or Eckler. I think it's Josh Jacobs. I know you said Eckler earlier, Tooch, but I think it's Josh Jacobs because of his volume.
I think, let's see, Josh Jacobs. They're at home against the Broncos. I don't think it'll be that high scoring of a game. The Chargers and Colts should be a higher scoring game. That's why I like Eckler, but it's not PPR though, right?
He said it's not PPR. No.
It's not. I mean, Eckler still gets a lot of goal line touches. It's tough. I'm going to go with Eckler. We know what we have in Eckler. I don't know what we have in Jacobs. I think he's going to be good. I haven't seen it though. Who's the other? They have anybody else besides Jacobs at running back? They cut.
He said he's got
Doug Martin. Right, the Raiders.
Yeah, they have. God, I'm drawing a total blank.
I don't think they have anybody else besides. Right.
No, they do. I'm just drawing a total blank here. I'm looking up the Raiders depth chart right now. So
yeah, me too.
Here we go. Raiders depth chart right in front of me, loading up. So at running back, of course, you have by himself is Josh Jacobs, Jalen Richard, and then DeAndre Washington. So
right, so nothing behind Jacobs either. So. Yeah, maybe go with Jacobs. It's a Monday night game. It's tough, though. I mean, Eckler, I guess since it's not PPR, you might go with Jacobs.
Yeah, so I like Jacobs. I just think he's going to have a lot of volume. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls.
It's close. I think it's going to be close between the two. I mean, Eckler still gets goal line carries, even though he's a smaller player. They run him out of the backfield on screens or, you know, it's a tough call, Joe. I think it'll be pretty close.
I agree, man. It's going to be a tough call, but it's going to be a fun week. And week one is coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, we got you ready for your week one. For anyone that has questions about starts and sits, don't hesitate to reach out to us on Twitter, at FFBGoon. You can hit me up at Joe Mandel. Tooch, people can find you on Twitter where?
At Santucci_John.
That's right. And then make sure you guys head over to fantasyfootballgoon.com. Check out our weekly rankings. And my week one rankings are live now. So make sure you go check those out. We'll be glad to answer any questions all season long. It's what we do. Make sure you guys keep it tuned in to the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Coming up right after this, in a few minutes, you got Shy fans in the stands. Greg Braggs Jr. and I are going to be interviewing Jim Cornelison from the Blackhawks. He sings the anthem before Blackhawks games, and I believe he's singing the anthem before the Bears game this Thursday. Going to be an awesome show. We got the guys from the Tailgate Show, Bobby Bombs and Ryan Badgley in the house. And then coming up live after the Bears game, I believe there's the post-game show premiering this week, or is it 100 Proof, Tooch? I don't know off the top of my head. I know I'm texting with these guys right now, but...
I've been awfully busy, Joe. I wanted to say, I know it's not, I have a stream, and I have a stream that's on vacation, but for those of you who have Amazon Prime, there's a great show I've been texting Joe about. It's called Carnival Row. Man, it's really good, Joe. It's kind of like steampunk Game of Thrones.
Steampunk Game of
if
Thrones.
You get my meaning, man. It's intense. It's a trip, man.
Highly recommended.
Buddy.
Yeah, and I just looked at the schedule, guys. It is Bears' last call, premiering Thursday after the game. You got Atoshin and Gandia. Phil's going to be in town, so make sure you guys tune in for that after the Bears game. And then check out Tooch's recommendation after the Bears game is over. Check out Carnival Row. Should be a fun time.
I've been binging the episodes, Joe, and I'm jonesing to go watch the next episode right now after this show.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and do that. And again, it's last call on the Bears Thursday after the game. And then you got fantasy season starting Thursday. Fantasy football firing up. We're ready for all cylinders. So tune in with Fantasy Football Goon all year long. Huge thanks to our guest, Spaceball, for joining us. Spaceball, you're the man if you're out there still listening. Tooch, I appreciate you, my brother. As always, my friend.
Anytime. We'll talk to you soon.
And the way we always end the show, God bless America. God bless football. And let's kick some ass. Let's knock them dead this week, Tooch.
All right.
So long, farewell, our readers, and good night.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.